Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement.
This episode is brought to you by Uveda. Uveda is an organically grown, family-owned, modern Ayurvedic supplement company that delivers yoga and meditation advice directly to you through their app, along with plant-based nutrients and vitamins to your door. I am so excited to be partnered with them because they truly are a testament for making your mess your message. The founder, Gunny, suffered from clinical depression and anxiety after the loss of his brother and turned to Ayurvedic plants and herbs to heal him. His father is a leading Ayurvedic doctor and helped him become healthier and happier with these herbs, and he made this company, Uveda, to help other people deal with not only anxiety, depression, but adrenal fatigue, stress, immunity issues, digestive issues, and all sorts of other things. So you can try out Uveda on their website, uveda.com, and receive 35% off with code Sahara. I'm so excited for you guys to try this, and please tag me in your pictures because their products are adorable.
Also, I'd like to make my book tour announcement. I will be coming to several different cities, not just to share my book, but to have a Bollywood dance party and hug each other and talk all about the doshas and relationships and business and self-care and everything in between. My book launch events are so much more than me just talking about the book, but it's really a way to create community and to have a lot of fun. So come join me October 12th in LA, October 17th in New York, November 30th in Miami, and I'm going to be going to San Diego sometime in between then. Head over to my website, eatfeelfresh.com/book. I'm going to be adding some more cities, so head over there so you can stay tuned, and I'm so excited to meet you in person. I am so excited to share with you that I am launching a brand new masterclass, and this one is all about abundance. I've realized that the podcast episodes I've done about abundance have been the most popular by far, and you guys are ready to change your relationship with money so you can make an impact. Buy back your time, have freedom in your life, travel, explore, cook, create art, do the things that your soul is calling you to do, but money and work is holding you back. So to cut free from those blocks, and more importantly, to use that abundance to give back and serve the planet. So I'm so excited to bring this to you, to empower you, so you can then empower others. And this is how we change humanity. So come join me. We're going to change your relationship with money. We're going to help you create a business of your dreams. We're going to break down any limiting beliefs, any roadblocks. I'm going to be live on the webinar with you, and I'm going to be introducing you to some of my mentors. We're going to be launching into a six-week program, guys. I'll tell you more about that on the masterclass. But if you are interested in making your dreams happen and money and work is what is holding you back, my friend, that should not be holding you back at all. That should be your pedestal towards making your dreams happen. So come join me on the Abundance Mindset Masterclass. Head over to the show notes, head over to my website, iamsaharrose.com. You will find it there, and I am so honored to share it with you. Now, without further ado, let's welcome me, myself, and I to the Highest Self Podcast. I'm on Instagram Live and recording this, which is really fun, and it's something that I want to keep doing so I can give you guys more of the behind the scenes of what recording these podcasts are like. So just to give you a little visual, if you're listening to this on the podcast, I just sit on my table, have my Instagram Live going, and nothing is pre-written. I really don't have a point that I'm trying to make. I just open myself up to source and I let the words move through me. And that's how this episode is going to go. Before I record an episode, though, I have a topic that I want to discuss. And the topic for today is purpose. So according to the Vedas and all other ancient traditions, we didn't come here on accident. We came here for a specific purpose. And the reason why all of us have unique strengths, unique gifts, unique dislikes are all because they are related to that dharma role. But what happens, especially in today's Western society, is we don't talk about that. We can talk about What's your favorite color? What's your favorite TV show? What kind of movies do you like? Oh, what do you even want to do when you grow up? We can talk about that, but has anyone ever asked you, so why did your soul evolve here? No. You don't ask little kids, so why do you think you incarnated this time? No. So what do you want to do when you grow up is just to kind of like get ideas. Honestly, I ask because I'm like, so do you guys have any good suggestions? It doesn't really come from a deeper spiritual place. It just sort of is like the question that you ask kids to just like get to know their personalities a little bit. But we don't frame it in the words of what do you want to be when you grow up is what is the message you're trying to put out into the world? What is your purpose here? And the thing is, if we started asking kids this, they would begin really thinking about it. And kids are born knowing. When you were a child, you were born knowing your purpose. There was no blocks from the outside world. There was no idea of, well, these jobs make money and these don't. And there's a high demand for this and not so much for that. That was not in your head at all. You were just upfront about who you are, what your purpose is. That was the only thing that mattered. So children come from a very clear channel. They literally come straight from source, from Brahma, universal consciousness. And they come from this higher plane, the soul level plane. They incarnate through different existences, essentially, different dimensions, until they come down to the most densest plane, which is the physical earth. And that's why, you know, kids are like, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an actor. I want to be this. I want to be that. Because for them, they don't see any limitations. Because in higher frequencies, what you think can actually happen. But in Earth, we live on this very dense plane where it takes a lot of strength and action and moving to make things happen. Whereas on higher planes, it's more like you think about something and it occurs. So kids have to learn the lesson of not everything you want happens. That's a big lesson that kids learn. That's why they throw temper tantrums and don't understand why they just can't get the toy. But what they lose in that process is anything that you want can happen. But on Earth, you just have to put in the work. So the Vata stage is the air, the space. The Vata dosha, Vata energy, dosha means energy, comes from space, which is ether, universal consciousness, into air, which is all around us. So it's basically the process of an idea coming from source into this plane. And that is the process of Vata. So it's sort of like, imagine there's like clouds up on the earth sphere, and then it starts to come down lower, 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 and then it gets into your mind. So that is sort of like how an idea happens. The idea is out in the astral plane, and then it comes into your mind, and it's a download. We even use that word, a download. It's like when you get a stream of information. The doshas and dharma program I ran all came through this download, this idea that just moved through me. And when you say yes to the download, that's when you can materialize it into words, into music, into art, into whatever it is. So that is the process of Vata. Vata is taking an idea in the astral plane and grounding it down so it can be experienced as air, space and air. So think of this as the creation process, the brainstorm process, the vision boarding, the visualizing, taking a walk and letting your mind wander, going to a meditation that takes you to other places. This is the Vata process. But as it comes into the air, then it is experienced, it is felt, it is like that idea that you're like, oh my God, should I go for it? And that's when, you know, you have this crazy idea, but you're actually taking a little bit more seriously now. And maybe you start telling your friends about it. And maybe you start actually researching, has anyone else done this? Does it exist? We've all been there. We've all had those ideas that were like, huh, maybe I could move forward with this. And this is really when the wind, the air starts picking up and we can feel it and experience it. And it's not quite there. It's not quite a business. It's not quite a career. But the idea is present on the plane. It's moved from this, woo, maybe, oh, that could be so cool, into this, wow, could I do this? That is the movement of Vata. Now, we can even think of this like the chakras. The crown chakra is where we receive downloads of information from. The crown chakra is at the top of our head, and you can think of it like a triangle. And the ideas are up here, and it's triangling down into the top of our head. And then it's coming into the third eye center. Third eye is intuition. It's when you really begin experiencing it, being really intuitive about, is this for me? Because a lot of times you get ideas, but they're not for you. You can get ideas for other people. I mean, my dharma is helping other people find ideas. That's what I'm good at because I'm super, super vata. So for me, I'm like always thinking of ideas, but if I actually acted on all of them, I would not be true to myself. So that vata from the space to the third eye, the crown to the third eye, is when you begin to really get intuitive about, is this idea for me? Is this what I want to be doing? You know, we can think of lots of great profitable ideas. It doesn't mean we have to act on all of them. And that's when we use our intuition to decide, is this for me or is this maybe better suited for someone else? An example of this is I was very into balancing my hormones when I went through my own hormonal imbalance issues a few years ago, about 4 years ago. So as I was trying to heal and balance my hormones, I started to read about it. I started to get really interested in it. And I was like, wow, this is something that I could teach. This is something I could do. Is this for me? And I started to do it, started to, you know, create a book, a program. But when I really, really sunk into it, I realized that this is not my dharma. This is not my path. This is something that I'm experiencing at the moment. I'm experiencing a hormonal issue, but it does not mean that I feel like my purpose is to talk specifically about hormones. It is just something that I had to deal with and something that, you know, I could have taught because I was going through it, but did it make me feel like my highest self? Did I feel like I'm here to teach people about hormones? It didn't. So that's when the idea, the download, I began to use my intuition and decide, is this for me? And then when I really moved into it and I started doing it, I decided, no, it's not. This is not how I want to spend my time. I'm not that hormone balancer. There are other people who are super passionate about this. That's just not me. So this is why it's very important for us to use our intuition. Now the idea moves into the throat chakra, and the throat chakra is when we begin to voice it out. It's when we begin sharing the idea with people. Hey, I had this idea. What do you think? You start bouncing it back. Now, this can be a very healthy way of expressing yourself, sharing your idea, bouncing it on other people, seeing how they feel. But a lot of times we go too prematurely into this stage of voicing it to other people when we haven't truly used our intuition yet. So we haven't fully become clear of whether we want to do this or not. And the moment we get the download in the crown chakra, we immediately start voicing it out, sharing with other people. We haven't really given it thought. So this is why I really advise keeping your ideas to yourself until you are sure about them. You are sure this is something that I want to move forward with. And then advising with the people who are supportive of your path. Now, this is really important, guys. Advise only with the people who are supportive of your path. And oftentimes, that's not your parent. That may not even be your good friends. Maybe it's someone on the periphery. Maybe it's someone who is a more of a mentor figure to you. What happens when we begin to advise with people who have almost too much of an interest in our lives is they give the advice skewed on how this could potentially affect the relationship. An example is I used to, every time I would have an idea, I would immediately tell my mom. How many of you guys do the same? You know, your mom is the first person that you call. However, at that point, I wasn't sure enough about myself. I wasn't certain about my ideas. It was almost like I'd have an idea and I would like call her to see if she believed in it. And then if she did, then I would believe in it. But I wasn't certain about the path. And other people can sense when you're not sure of yourself. So what would happen is I would tell her, oh my gosh, I have this idea. I want to, you know, write a book about Ayurveda, da, 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 da. And then she would come in with her stuff, which is the mother-daughter seeing, you know, oh my God, Ayurveda, what's that? Are you going to be able to make money doing that? Are you going to be able to survive? That doesn't make sense. You need to go become a doctor, da, 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 da. Her stuff, seeing me as the daughter, her as the mother, her as the protector, and trying to avoid any uncertainty in my life because that's what parents do. So when I'm speaking to her, this idea that's so nascent and I'm not even quite sure of, and she's coming forth with this, no, it's not safe. no one's going to trust you, blah, 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 all of this stuff, then I would say, oh my God, she's right. That's not for me. I need to stick with the safe path. I need to go become a doctor. I need to get XYZ certification and degree and PhD for other people to take me seriously, because that's what my mom is telling me. And she must know what's best, right? How many of you guys have been in that situation? So this is why it's important to not speak out the idea until you are sure about it. Go on an advice detox. I swear, do not ask people for advice until you are sure about yourself, because no one can advise you about what is right for you, because no one knows what's going on in your mind and no one knows what your soul evolved here for. They're answering from their point of experience with their education and their traumas and their wisdom and whatever it is that they're holding onto, but that is not your path. So an advice detox is to not ask people for advice. And as women, as people in our Shakti, divine feminine nature, this is really hard for us. Because the divine feminine, you know, people talk a lot about women are so competitive, women can't trust each other, women are so jealous of each other. Yes, women who are super in the shadow side, but for centuries, women would gather together and speak and communicate and share wisdom. And I find women are super supportive of each other. And women are always jumping forth. And, you know, that's how we therapize. Like men often, if they have an idea or a vision, they will go and do it themselves and they won't really ask anyone else for their advice. And that's why men actually get things done much more efficiently, because they have an idea, it works for them, and they go do it. It goes from the crown up down through the chakras, heart, solar plexus, sacral, root chakra. It's grounded. They just go for it. Whereas women, we start to, oh, what do you think about it? Now, what do you think? Oh, but, and then we start fishing for the compliments and like other people telling us that we can do it. And we've almost become paralyzed with it. Because until we get that cheerleader root and support for whatever it is we want to do, we feel like, oh, I'm not going to have the strength to complete it. So this is why it is essential for us to move it from the crown into the third eye and then begin to express it. We can only express it when we've really given it thought. So the throat chakra is all about now sharing your message. And this does not mean you're sharing it again to get appraisal from other people. You are just sharing it because it is your divine truth. So it might look like starting a blog, starting an Instagram, starting a podcast. It could look like doing the wireframes of your app, writing your book proposal, whatever it is, you begin sharing that message. And through that sharing, the message starts to take shape. And that's when we begin to see, okay, is this the right message? Is there the audience for this? And again, people oftentimes get too paralyzed when there is not an immediate audience and they stop sharing the message. You know, no one's going to come to you for advice until you've given a lot of free good advice. And this is what happens with a lot of people. They put out that blog post, they start that Instagram, and they're doing it for a few months, maybe a year. And they're like, why don't I have followers? Why aren't people listening to me yet? And then they're like, you know, maybe it's not for me. Maybe there's too many other people doing this. Maybe I'm too late in the game. How many of you guys have felt that way before? There's too many people on Instagram, so, you know, my message isn't going to be heard. Too many people already doing YouTube. I'm too late. So we do this, and basically what ends up happening is we stifle our own growth. You know, imagine if, I don't know, a singer, a famous singer, Shania Twain, who knows, was like, oh, there's too many country music singers out there, so no one's going to listen to my voice. What if Rihanna was like, you know, there's already Beyonce, so I'm a little too similar to her. What if Cardi B was like, there's already Nicki Minaj, so there's no space for me because we're both, you know, female rappers. There's always, you know, if there's an audience for something, there is naturally going to be an audience for more of it. And what I've realized that a lot of people subconsciously think and don't really think about is they feel like if they share with other people, connect with other people, support other people, then they're going to lose that follower and it's going to be given to that other person. And this is a total illusion. This is total Maya. The word Maya is the illusion that is holding us back from truth. So for example, let's say you are a jewelry designer, you create minimalistic jewelry, and you find another girl on Instagram who creates minimalistic jewelry. So you're like stalking her stuff and you're like, oh my God, she made that rose quartz ring and I have a similar rose quartz ring and we're a competition. And you like, you know, use all your energy on stalking that person, but you don't follow them. How many of you guys have done this? So what you could have done, what your highest self would have done is seen, wow, this we are on the same wavelength. We have the same dharma going on. Hers is a little bit different from mine, but we are both receiving the message that the way that we express truth is through minimalistic jewelry. So let me message her and give her, you know, my gratitude and appraisal for the amazing work she's doing and share that I'm doing a similar thing and think about ways that we can connect and support each other. Maybe we can come together and create a ring together. And, you know, people who are buying from me will probably want to buy from you, and people who are buying from you will probably want to buy from me. So if we come together and share audiences, there's going to be a bigger market for both of us. You see, with social media and especially with Instagram, the only way you will grow is if you connect with other people. You're not going to grow if you never repost other people's stuff and people don't repost you. The only way you can grow is to connect with other people, because there isn't really a news feed where, you know, people are finding stuff. There's like that explore page, but it's like full of weird shit that you don't want to follow. But if you think about the people that you follow on social media and you really go back to how did I discover them, it's always through someone else. And it's a web. And you say, oh, I was following that astrology podcast, and she mentioned, she interviewed another astrology podcaster, and then I started following hers and I love both of theirs and I listen to both of theirs every week. It doesn't mean you're going to unfollow one person because you find someone else doing something similar to that. And if you come in with this mindset, that's what's going to show up, because whatever you believe will happen. And if you come in with the mindset of, there's only space for one astrologer on Instagram and I can't share or connect with any others because it's going to take away from my audience, then that's what's going to show up. You're going to come face to face with other people who share your mindset, and it's going to be a lot of competition. So the throat chakra is about sharing. It's about connecting. It's about messaging the people who are on a similar wavelength as you and say, I love what you're doing. How can I support you? And again, come through with a genuine space of support, because it's so obvious. If you message someone, you're like, hey, will you repost my photo? That's coming from, I'm taking from you. If you are giving, hey, I'd love, how can I support you? I love what you're doing. Then naturally, they're going to want to support you too. And you come into this place of abundance. So the throat chakra is expressing, communicating. And this is when the idea begins to now move through the pitta. And when you're sharing it, then you begin taking action. So the pitta begins on the heart chakra. You really begin feeling the idea, embodying the idea. Is it for me? How does this really feel now that it's here? You know, how does my first client feel? How does it feel now that I have my website up and running? What is this experience of reality like? And this is oftentimes when we get, you know, the second thoughts, we get the butterflies, we get the tremors, because it's like, it's here. And that experience can be really scary of, oh my God, I didn't get any sales today. I thought I would get tons of sales. Or, oh, no one listened to the podcast. I thought everyone would listen. And it's here. And that's when you really have to give it love. Fully feel it in your heart and see this as your sacred message, your sacred offering that you are providing to the world. And this is when you have to have true compassion for yourself, because we get so hard on ourselves of, oh my God, I look like an idiot. You know, no, everyone's going to laugh at me. No one's going to take me seriously. And we really need to come through with, this is something that is so much larger than just me. And from what I'm doing, sharing my message, my business, whatever it is, I am providing value for other people. And when you see it as something larger than yourself, that is when you fully support it and you give it wings. So it's like when your best friend has an idea and you're like, yes, what can we do? How can we support it? How can we get the message out? And then when you have the idea, you're like, oh, I don't know. No one's going to listen. No one's going to take it seriously. This is when you need to come through as being your own best friend. If someone was consulting you with this vision, with this idea, with this dharma, how would you show up for them? And you need to show up the same way for yourself. You need to give yourself as much love and support and gratitude and resonance as you would if your best friend or your child came to you with this project. And the thing is, we don't do that. And really what it comes down to is self-worth. Because people ask me all the time, they say, how is it that you take so much action? I wish that I could take action like you. And I'm not a Pitta dosha. That is not my Prakriti. I'm Vata and then Kapha. Lastly, Pitta. Now my Pitta is high, but I was not born this way. I had to do the work to get here. And I had to put in that self-worth first. That yes, my vision matters. Yes, what I have to say is important. Yes, it will be supported by others and by the universe. Yes, this is my sacred duty. I had to give myself that much congruence that I could truly embody and be like, yeah, I'm here to help other people find their dharma and not feel weird or apologetic or uncertain about it. Because again, when people can hear that wave of uncertainty in your voice, they begin questioning you. And, you know, imagine if you went to a therapist and they're like, yeah, I don't really know what you should do. You'd be like, give me my money back, bye. But if someone really stood their ground and held space for you and was like, what can I do to make things better? Or this is the guidance I have for you. Then you trust them. So you need to have that unquivering truth in your own voice when you share that message. And to do that, you need to feel it in your heart and you need to see it as an experience greater than yourself. And now this is when the Pitta moves into the solar plexus. And the solar plexus is your identity. It is your digestive fire, your powerhouse, the Agni, as they say in Sanskrit, the fire which all is created. And this is when you really do the hashtag work. This is when you do those things that are uncomfortable. Make those emails to the people that you have like a minor connection with. Go to those networking events that are like super awkward and you're just like looking around and you don't know how to start a conversation. Go to that conference where you feel like you're totally unqualified. Sign up for that teacher training, even though it's out of your budget, really. You need to push yourself and take that action. And this is where a lot of the spiritual, lighthearted people don't show up. And this is why they don't embody the amazing ideas they have. You know, I want to change the world. I'm going to end world hunger. I'm going to create a retreat space. I hear that all the time in LA where there's like a lot of light workers. But the thing is, they're afraid of taking the action steps. They're afraid of sending that uncomfortable email because they believe so deeply in like the secret and that, you know, whatever is meant to happen to you will just show up by your door. But they don't realize that we are here on the earthly plane and that doesn't happen here. You have to, of course, let it show up through your mind, but you have to take that action. So the solar plexus chakra is all about the embodiment, the movement, the sharing, the vision, the business plan, the book proposal, the writing of the book, you know? And this is the time where a lot of times you don't feel like you're in flow. A lot of times you have to just show up. You can't wait for the muse all the time, especially when you're on a deadline. And if you want to do anything creative, guys, there's a deadline. Your publisher is not going to say, whenever you're ready, whenever you're done writing that book, we're just here on standby. We're following your lead. No, let that idea come through you. And once it's gone through you and you're confident with it, that's when you put in that fire. You take the action. You have those times of the day that you're like, this is when I make my videos. This is when I write my book. This is when I work on my business. This is when I do whatever it is. And you start to pull in the scheduling and you start to use organizational tools, you know? Like I was like, what are these? I've never even heard of these. And it was so foreign to me. And, you know, my Vata mind was like, oh, I don't believe in organizational tools. I just want to let it flow. But that was what was keeping me in this ethereal plane and not bringing the action into the world. So I said, okay, I need to get things done. These are my boundaries and these are my schedules, and I need to make it happen. So we need to have this conversation. I feel like it's a conversation that we're so afraid of because we want to be all light and love that we don't want to talk about the solar plexus, which is the work. You know, imagine if your digestion was like, I'm going to sit on standby and just, you know, let things flow through. Actually, a lot of people's digestions are doing that. And that's why we have so much leaky gut, because there's too much vata in the digestifier. A strong digestion can take food, transform it into energy, assimilate the nutrients, and discard the waste. Your creation process needs to be the same way. You need to take that idea, assimilate the strengths that you have, discard the fears and the limiting beliefs, and turn it into energy that others can experience. We can't get stuck here, guys. We can't let the ideas accumulate, and then never turn up into energy, into business, into books, into podcasts, into retreats, into programs. You have to put in that work. You got to digest the thoughts and plant them down into the soil. And that's the dosha that comes next. So from the solar plexus, we come into the kapha, the earth. And it first moves through the sacral. And then the sacral is when we come into rest, into pleasure, into figuring out your systems. Because what happens when we get too stuck in the solar plexus and we don't move forward is we're taking action, 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 and we're not resting, we're not recharging, we're not taking time for ourselves, we stop playing, and then we get burnt out. So it is essential that once you put in that work, you got it out there, you're like, okay, now where can I create pauses? Where is my walk in the day gonna fill in this day? Where is my yoga class going to fit in? I haven't seen my friends in a long time. How is that going to fit in? And without enjoyment and pleasure and unity, we're missing out the whole experience of life. And this is what happens in the entrepreneurial community. It's so stuck on the solar plexus, on the pitta, on the action, that we don't realize that life is also meant to be enjoyed. It is not only sacral chakra, that is just one of your chakras, kapha is just one of your doshas, but it is an important one. Sleep is important. You're not going to regenerate and create new ideas if you are not resting. Play is important. You're not going to come up with new things if you're not playing and sharing and expressing yourself. Creativity is important. If you're not doing those things that make you feel creative, you're going to get stagnant. So you need to fit that in, because for your business to take the next level, you need to be taken care of. And then we move down into the root chakra, which is deeply firming into the kapha dosha, the true, true earth. So kapha is actually two elements. It's earth and it's water. So the sacral chakra is more of the watery. And if you think about it, it's space, air, fire, water, earth. And the doshas are space, air, vata, fire, water, pitta, water, earth, kapha. So it is no coincidence that the chakras are in order of elements as the doshas are connected. So pitta is both fire and water, and kapha is also water and earth. So it is a movement, it is a flow. So vata does not share any elements with pitta and kapha. Vata is air and space, which is why it is the hardest push to get your idea into the physical plane. But once you do, and once you start taking the action, then you can move it into kapha. But it's that push from an idea into action. That is the hardest push. But once you get those balls rolling, then you begin to get into that flow. So then the kapha part, the earth part, is when you begin embodying that thing. When you begin planting it, you set up the foundation, you set up the systems. This is when you maybe start, you know, hiring other people, you start building your empire, you start really setting down the framework of your vision. It is no longer this solo thing, and it turns into this larger empire. And again, this is very essential, because what happens, and this is a huge lesson for me too, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs, is you're so used to doing everything on your own that you're afraid, truly. You're afraid of delegating to other people because you don't trust them. Because so far, everything has been you. You've been pushing, you've been doing that thing. So you feel like, if I give this responsibility to someone else, they're not going to be able to do it. So it is essential for us to, once we've gone through it, once we can do it on our own. I'm not saying so. Some people prematurely begin delegating before they can do it on their own, and they end up getting screwed that way. Because what happens is, if you don't know how to run your website and that person quits, then what happens? You know, you don't know how to put up a new blog post. Let's say your editor quits. You don't know how to edit the podcast. I believe it is essential for us to know how to do everything, especially if you're a coach, whatever it is, any sort of entrepreneur. But at a certain point, you have to say, okay, these are my strengths. These are the things I'm good at. This is when I feel like I'm in flow. And these are the things that I don't feel like I'm in flow. So I have to, first of all, put in the time and the effort to train that person and be patient with them. Patience is a very big virtue of Kafa. And then I have to trust. And that person's going to make mistakes. And I have to be open-hearted and kind and patient and genuinely know that they are doing their best. And a lot of times when you're delegating tasks to other people, they don't fully show up because they're not as passionate about your project as you are, of course. You know, no freelancer that you hire is like, my dharma is to work for you. You know, it's going to take a lot of time to find that person who's like fully on your vision and is also a Kafa to support, because Kafas naturally do best in supportive roles. They don't genuinely want to be the entrepreneur because it's a lot of pressure on them. The Kafa doesn't want to feel like, oh my God, if I don't show up today and do everything, then like everyone's going to lose their jobs and this whole business is going to collapse. The Kafa does not want that. And there's no need to want that. You know, I feel like we have so much like pressure in today's media of like, be an entrepreneur, get shit done. And that's not the case. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. If everyone was an entrepreneur, there would be no one who is like working in the company. So not everyone has to be an entrepreneur, guys. If you feel like you are in a Kapha dosha state, maybe it's your Prakriti, maybe it's your Vikriti, maybe it's a good chance to find someone who's on a similar path or vision as you and say, how can I support? And even if you don't feel like that's going to be your end goal, it's a really good place to learn. Because if we had like gotten a peek eye view of someone who's doing something and we saw what it's like, then we can question, is this for me? Is this really actually how I want to spend my time? But sometimes we start chasing and chasing a goal. And then once we step into it, we're like, oh my God, I don't even like doing this. Which is why internships are essential. You know, in Europe, internships are such a big part of the culture. People, you know, as soon as they leave high school, they actually go into getting an internship before they begin university, because it's important for them and their culture to see, like, do you actually want to work in that thing? So I've seen so many people who go to, you know, get their master's in psychology, become marriage and therapy, family therapists, and then they're doing it and they don't like it, which is why if you had interned for a therapist before, worked in a therapist's office, played a supportive role for another therapist, you would have seen if it was for you. And if you know this is what I want to be doing, then you need to find other Kafa people and you need to make sure that it is part of their vision too. You know, if it's not aligned with their vision, it's not going to work. And I've had so many people work for me, leave, work for me, leave, work for me, leave. Why? Because it wasn't aligned with their vision, and good for them to leave. But as an entrepreneur, it's going to take a lot of your time and a lot of your resources to keep training people, and they leave. Training people, and they leave. I'm sure if you guys are entrepreneurs, you've experienced that too. So both people have to meet in each other's way and see, how is this beneficial for both of our growth journeys? Is this teaching you the lessons that your soul needs? And is this providing me with the support my soul needs? And it has to be mutually beneficial for both. So when you are creating a team, when you're taking that Kafa grounding step of, okay, now I'm building this empire that's spreading its wings, you need to align yourself that fill up your open gaping holes. So maybe you hate social media. Maybe it's draining you and it's exhausting you. And every time you do it, you have a panic attack and it's keeping you from doing your art. Totally, totally fine. Know how to do it, know how Instagram stories and all that stuff works. But if you hate it and it's preventing you from doing that thing you need to do, then delegate it to someone. If answering emails is that thing that's draining you, hire someone who can answer the emails. Customer service, Facebook ads, whatever it is, you need to own that part of yourself and also know that I will create more revenue by focusing my strength in that thing that I am good at than me trying to figure out how to do everything else. And this is the very, very big birthing and grounding step. This is when the baby leaves the womb and turns into its own child. It can only do that when other people are involved. When it's just you, it can only move as fast as you move. And you are just one person who has limited time and limited resources and also limited strengths, guys. Don't expect that you can do it all. You are just one person with really one truth, one Dharma role. So it is essential for you to recognize that in yourself and know that for me to fully embody this business, I have to give it wings and I have to trust. And that's when we reach that kapha, that earthly state. And in that deep state of rest and trust and surrender and grounding, we naturally come back into the vata state. And the vata state again is when the ideas come back and the visions and when you feel supported and grounded, then woo, maybe we could add this to the business. And maybe this is a new part of the project that we can bring in. You won't be able to grow if you don't have that true deep sense of grounding. And we begin that vata again, the creativity, the visions, the blossoming, the possibilities. So it is a cycle. So I think it is essential for all of us to recognize where we are in the doshas. Are we stuck in the vata, in the creativity? Are we very much in the pitta, in the action, but maybe we don't know why? Or are we really in the kapha, in the grounding and the rest and the recharge? Recognize that in yourself. And then think, what are the steps I need to take to get to the next dosha? If you're in the vata, the idea phase, what are the steps I can bring into bringing it into the pitta, the embodiment, the action? Am I up here where it's still space? Do I need to use more intuition? Am I intuitive? Do I need to now start sharing my message? Am I sharing my message? Do I need to start really believing in it? Am I believing in it? Do I need to start taking the action? Am I taking a lot of action? Do I need to start resting? And am I resting, recharging, delegating that now I'm ready to have a new idea and a new leg and a new vision. So it is all a cycle. Everything in the doshas, in the chakra system, in all of the things that we are discussing is related to the earth's rhythms, because the earth is revolving, the seasons are revolving, the day is revolving, and we are revolving as energy beings. And that's why in different cultures, like the shamans have their shamanic wheel and, you know, there's different compasses and medicine circles and things like that, because it is a wheel, it is cyclical. You can't get stuck in one. You can't get stuck in the, oh, I have a great idea, but I don't know, I'm going to manifest it and never take action. You can't get stuck on the, I'm an entrepreneur, I get things done, I'm the MF CEO. That's actually a guy. And it's so pitta. And then it's like, what's your purpose? What does your higher self want? There's no vata left. There's no water. There's no earth. It's all fire. And then sometimes it's really, really watery where it's like, I'm just here to enjoy my life and dance and groove. And, you know, that's great. But what are you contributing to society? And then sometimes it's super, super, super earthy where it's just you're resting, you're recharging, and that's okay. And that's sometimes needed at certain parts in your life. But maybe if this is a cycle, this is a trend your whole life, you feel like you're resting and you're so tired and this is happening, that's happening, you need to start taking action. So think about this, let it sit in your different chakras. This was a download, and sometimes downloads take a while for them to work their magic and it'll show up for you in a different way. And I truly believe just by hearing this, you're going to be able to hear what your soul needs. So my Doshas and Dharma program is all about this, diving deep into it in a 4-week journey. And it's all about really discovering what your dosha constitution is. Are you that creative vata, that action-oriented pitta, that resting, rejuvenating kapha, and how that's related to different Dharma roles? Are you meant to be more in the creative space, managerial space, one-on-one space? How can you find what you are good at, what your strengths are, how you can make money doing it, what the world needs? How can you express yourself? And you end by writing out your purpose statement. So this program I channeled essentially back in September, and it was right you know, during my book launch time, and I was like, this is not the right time to do it. Universe, stop. I don't want to hear the message. I need to work on my book launch. But it kept coming to me, kept coming to me, kept coming to me, that eventually I was like, okay, I'm just going to start writing this down. As soon as I started writing it, I was like, oh my God, this is even too much for me to write. So I sat down in front of my computer, and for 8 hours, I just spoke and I channeled the step-by-step system that Source provided me with to share with you guys. And this system basically walks you through the steps that you need to find your Dharma, your life purpose. Now, if you are ready to make your dreams happen, come join me on the Abundance Mindset Masterclass. This is the masterclass that is going to change everything around money for you. Trust me, I have lived it this past year. What a difference. What an impact I've been able to make. I've been able to hire people to help me, to expand my message, to create a ripple effect that is so much larger than me. And the only thing that was holding me back before was my own money mindset. So I help you shift and transform yours so you can make your dreams happen. So head over to the show notes, head over to my website, iamsahararose.com, and join me for the Abundance Mindset Masterclass. Again, we're going to get started with the live webinar in the beginning of November. So please sign up by then. And if you're listening to this episode after the beginning of November, we're going to be running it again live in January. So please still sign up for the masterclass so you can be notified when we go live again. I'm so excited to shift your money mindset, to create abundance, that Lakshmi energy in your life, and to see where it brings you. Namaste.